Hey there, listeners. So this is me from the present and not the past, like the podcast you're about to listen to is going to be. I didn't want to make this its own episode because I felt like that would have been kind of lame, but I wanted to reach out to you directly and kind of tell you what's up. So first and foremost, I'm so sorry that there hasn't been an episode in a while. I know I think it's been over a month at this point. There were some problems I was having with distribution, so I ended up needing a new RSS URL essentially. And when that happened, it broke a lot of the distribution connections that happened between Anchor and all of the other platforms where you can find my podcast. So that was something that had to be handled, and that ended up being a lot of emailing back and forth with various customer support people, trying to get things fixed, trying to essentially convince some platforms that it was the same podcast despite the link being different and despite the RSS being different. So that was a hurdle that kind of had to get over. That was like a 2-week thing. I had some personal stuff come up that needed to be dealt with. Everything is cool and fine and all of that. Life goes on. I've also been traveling quite a bit lately, so there's been a lot happening. But I wanted to just say hey and say what's up and thank you for sticking with me. Thanks everybody who has been liking the Facebook page, who's been following on Twitter, who's been sending in emails, all of it. I really appreciate it. I appreciate that you guys have been patient with this unexplained and kind of unplanned hiatus. So thank you for just kind of, bearing with me here. And I hope that the next few episodes will kind of make up for that. This one, the one you're listening to now, the Beast of Jevedon, this one's going to be a little short, but the episode after is quite long. I'm actually going to finish editing it now, so that'll be up very soon for you to listen to. I may have mentioned that episode and given a specific date for it in this episode. So if that happens, just know that that's wrong. as I am recording this right now, it's November 19th, and the original recording of what you're about to listen to was on October 16th. So there's some stuff I forgot, but yeah, I think that's it. Thank you again, and sorry, but I'm back. We're back, and should not be any more unplanned breaks from here on out. So yeah, enjoy. Hi, welcome to Strange Brain, the podcast where we talk about all of the weird, mysterious, unsolved, unexplained, supernatural, paranormal, etc. things that happen in our world that also happen to keep me up at night. I am your host, Amanda Free, and someone pointed out to me that it has taken me this long to actually introduce myself. My bad. I wrongfully assumed that people would just see who is publishing this show and just know my name that way. And I don't know why I thought that. I don't know. I do know why I thought that. It's because I get so excited when I sit down to record these to talk about stuff that I'm just super interested in and super fascinated by that I don't even think about really talking about myself. So hi, that's me, Amanda Free. That also rhymes. I don't mean for it to, but here we are. So hello. My housekeeping will be relatively minimal today. The only bit that I really have for you is I'm so excited that our next episode, I'm going to have an awesome guest on by the name of Hannah Darling. She is a wonderful human being, an insanely talented content creator. I'm really excited to sit down and talk with her. We're talking about a shared experience that we have, not together, but with the same paranormal creature. And I've never heard
her story. She's never heard mine. We're going to react in real time to it. I'm really excited to just have a guest on, but it should be a really awesome episode. I say that about every episode, but I'm just excited to hear somebody tell me their crazy story because I live for it if you haven't figured that out about me yet. So that is my only bit of housekeeping. I'm getting a little bit better at these intros being a little shorter. I'm proud of me. Hopefully you are too. This episode is one that I kind of went back and forth about because it's such a broad subject and because it's so deeply ingrained in pop culture. It's a topic that everybody has heard of, even if you're not into creepy, spooky things. And then I decided I could really narrow this down to one specific thing, and it just dawned on me. So, get comfortable and grab your still beating human hearts while we talk about what is considered the first of its kind, the one that started it all, the Beast of Chevedon. Beast of Chevedon is the historical name that is associated with a man-eating animal or perhaps bunch of animals that terrorized the province that used to be Chevedon in south central France between 1764 and 1767. The attacks covered an area that was 56 by 50 miles and were said to have been committed by one or potentially more than one beast. Most of the descriptions from that period identify the beast as a wolf or a dog or some kind of hybrid of the two. Generally, it's said to look like a regular wolf, though some descriptions have said it was as large as an elephant. It was described as having a large dog-like head with small straight ears, a very wide chest, a large mouth with huge teeth, and that it was a medium to dark brown color with black markings on its back. If you haven't caught on by now, the Beast of Chevedon, or La Bête, is what is believed to be the origin story of werewolves. So, the first ever recorded attack from the beast was in the early summer of 1764 when a young woman was tending to cattle on her farm in the eastern part of Chevedon, and she had alleged that this beast came at her, but that the bulls in the herd charged at it, keeping it away from her. She said that they continued to kind of drive it off after it had attempted to attack another time and that it didn't come back. Very shortly after that, a young girl, a 14-year-old girl, was killed in relatively the same area, and it was believed that she was the first actual victim of the beast. Throughout the rest of the year, so throughout the rest of 1764, attacks were reported all over the place in Chevedon. The beast was said to be preying on people it was finding alone. Age and gender were kind of irrelevant. It was men, women, and children. And the majority of them, the vast majority of them, were attacked while they were looking after livestock. The reports about these attacks claimed or said that the beast only seemed to target victims' head and neck regions. So by late December of the same year, rumors started happening that it might be a pair of animals or a pack of animals. And this was because there was such a high number of attacks in such a short span of time. And a lot of the attacks appeared to have been simultaneous. So people started to believe that maybe this was a pack of wolves that were starting to become a problem. Also, this is December. This is also France. It's very cold. One could assume that food supply for wolves probably isn't as large or as vast as it would be during the springtime and the summertime. Also, there were people who had suggested that they had seen a couple animals together or a pack of animals together. And the kind of general consensus was that the beast was being accompanied by its young. So a month later in January 12th, 1765, a group of hunters claimed to have been attacked by the beast. After it kind of tried to attack them several times, they drove it away by staying grouped together. And the story of them surviving this attack came to the attention of Louis XV. And after this had come to his attention, he gave the men a reward for driving the beast away. And he also directed them to find and kill the beast. So King Louis XV funded training this group of men completely, you know, at the state's expense, and then decreed that the French state would help find and kill the beast. So a troop was sent to Gévaudan, which the people living in the area at the time, and I'm not going to get into 18th century French politics, but when the state sent these troops to Gévaudan, the people that lived there didn't cooperate with them, which made it a little bit harder for them to kind of do their job. The captain of this troop claimed several times that he had almost shot the beast, but kind of blamed incompetence of his guards for him not killing it. After this kind of went on for a little while and they didn't find and or kill the beast, King Louis XV agreed to send professional wolf hunters to the area so that they could kind of take over. So the troop that had been deployed there and these two professional wolf hunters butted heads on kind of what needed to happen. The captain of the troop that was deployed organized a bunch of hunting parties, while the two wolf hunters, these two professional hunters, tried to explain to him that the beast could only be shot in like a stealthy kind of way. They just did not agree like at all with each other on this. So in February, so this is like another a month later again, February 17th, 1765, these two men, it was a father and son, these two professional hunters, they brought 8 bloodhounds with them that were trained in wolf hunting. And over the next 4 months, they started hunting down Eurasian wolves, believing that one of them was the beast. And while this was happening, attacks still were continuing on. So there were still people in the area of Gévaudan saying, we're still being attacked by the beast. People were no longer going out alone to tend to their livestock. It changed the way that people were living. And there was no, even with the king involved and trained army people involved and these professional wolf hunters involved with their team of 8 bloodhounds, progress wasn't really being made. So the wolf hunting team was eventually replaced in June of 1765. So almost half a year later. So they started in February. The king replaced them in June. And then the king also sent his lieutenant of the hunt to help out as well, also in June. That was on June 22nd. So the summer goes and passes, and we come to September. So history is a little weird. So either on September 20th or 21st, the man that had replaced these wolf hunters managed to kill a large gray wolf that measured 31 inches in height, and it was 5'7" in length and weighed about 130 pounds. So because this wolf was massive, and that is like, that's huge. For comparison, I'm 5'7" and I'm, you know, considered relatively tall for a fully grown woman. This wolf was as long as I am tall. Huge wolf. So this 130 pound, 5'7" wolf was believed to have been Lebet. They had never seen a wolf that big before. So they, you know, they had assumed that that was it. They showed the animal to people that had survived the attack, who claimed to recognize scars on its body that they had inflicted themselves from defending themselves. So everybody was pretty sure, like, the problem solved, this was it. So this wolf was was stuffed. They, you know, it was what word am I looking for? Taxidermied and sent to Versailles. So this man went back to Paris. He received a huge sum of money adjusted for inflation, which was kind of hard because we're talking about the 1700s to now. But the closest I could get, the closest estimate I could get in today's money is he was awarded about $2 million in addition to fame and a bunch of titles and a bunch of other things he was given. He was regarded as a hero. However, December rolls around, December of 1765. And on December 2nd, a 6 and 12-year-old boy were attacked by what they claimed was the Beast. It had tried to capture the 6-year-old, but the 12-year-old claims to have successfully fought it off. Which, okay, sure. We'll just roll with that. Not too long after that, a bunch of successful attacks started happening again. Some that were witnessed by other people. And the Beast was reported as no longer really being afraid of cattle, despite having been chased off by cattle in the past. So from December 2nd and into the future, dozens more deaths were reported in relatively the same area. So we fast forward one more time, 2 years. On June 19th, 1767, the Beast is believed to have been killed. And the man that allegedly killed the Beast, after all of these years of hunters and people from the army, people who are professionally trained and for a living hunted wolves, he decided that he was going to create his own large caliber bullet and buckshot combination, and that he was going to create these bullets with silver. So he shoots the Beast, and the body of the Beast is brought to a surgeon who performs a, for lack of a better term, performs an autopsy. And within his postmortem report, a notary transcribed that upon being opened, the animal's stomach was shown to contain the remains of the last known victim. As far as I could see in my research, as far as I could tell, no one ever saw Labette again after this, and that is believed to have been the Beast. So, some theories about Labette. The first one is that Labette was in fact a werewolf and is regarded as being the reason why the idea of full moons and silver bullets and all of those things fit into werewolf lore. Then there are some other, a little bit more sensible hypotheses about it. So in more modern times, the belief is that Labette was an example of public hysteria, and that because of, you know, attacks happening at enough of a frequency, that myths started to spread about a supernatural beast that, you know, roamed the woods of Gévaudan, but say that the deaths are more likely attributed to the work of a pack of wolves. So attacks by wolves were a serious problem in the 18th century, and not just in France, but all throughout Europe. And in the 18th century alone, there were tens of thousands of deaths attributed to wolves. So in the spring of 1765, in the middle of this Gévaudan hysteria, there were other attacks in the northeast part of Paris, where an individual wolf killed, as far as we know, 4 people over a 2-day period before being hunted down and killed. So these incidents were really typical, like super common in rural parts of Western and Central Europe. So with that already being like a pretty common thing, mass hysteria makes the most sense to me personally. So another interesting thing I came across in all of my research for Labette was that even though the widely held interpretation of the Beast is that it was a wolf or, you know, some kind of dog-like creature, there have been a bunch of different theories that have been proposed. And what those kind of boil down to and what have kind of been concluded by, this actually comes from the National Geographic Society, published in 2016, that from 1764 to 1767, there were only a few wolf attacks on humans in Gévaudan, that the descriptions of several arbitrarily selected and killed wolves were adapted so that they corresponded to the descriptions provided by the victims and the hunters of the beast, and that numerous details about size, appearance, behavior, and the beast's strength handed down by contemporary witnesses allow one to identify the beast as a sub-adult male lion that had escaped from captivity. So it's a little more widely accepted, at least by more scientific-minded people, that this wasn't a wolf at all, but was actually an escaped zoo animal, which I'd be more willing to believe had anybody ever actually produced the body of a lion. And I also believe that people would have recognized something as being a lion attacking them. So I don't know that I quite buy the idea that this was a lion, but still a theory. You know, I want to give you guys everything that I found. So that is the story, potentially, of the origin of modern werewolf lore and the story of La Bête de Gévaudan. I know that this one's kind of short, but I do want to thank you for joining me and for your patience with this episode. I had some personal things come up that I needed to take care of, and unfortunately this is something that I kind of had to take a back seat for a short amount of time. I do have a really awesome episode coming up next for you guys that will be out, fingers crossed, it will be the next one. It is a monster to edit, so it's going to be interesting. So I'm really excited to push that out to you guys. Thank you again for your patience and your continued support and all of the love, and just I'm blown away by how many people are so interested in this show, because it's such a weird subject. All of it's kind of like a weird, you know, it's all kinds of like weird things, and kind of asking people to suspend their disbelief and kind of throw scientific things out the window when we talk about a lot of this stuff. And I just appreciate that so many of you find it so interesting, or find it, you know, as interesting as I find it, and are, you know, just here and listening. So I appreciate that a lot, and I will catch you guys on the next episode. Thank you for coming with me on this journey through my strange brain.